With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only FPL podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, my good friend, Rob Langevin. And also joining us is former EPL Roundtable regular. He's still there every now and again, though. It's Mr. Mark Simpson.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very pleased to have you on. When you first told us that you should come on, you were somewhere in the 500s. Had a bit of bad luck since then, but we'll get into your strategies and everything here in a bit. I'll leave with Rob just a little bit here. Friendship-wise, people want to hear how Rob's doing. Rob, how are you doing?
I'm good. Everybody at home who was wishing, wait, was Rob still there? He didn't even answer when Kevin mentions his name, because usually I hear my name and I hear the popularity that comes from behind it. And I'm just like all over it. And then Mark jumps in there with his, you know, his swaggy, you know, accent and Swag just trumps even. Me. And everybody's like, geez. Who's this Jersey kid, you know?
Hey man, don't feel left out. You're the plucky underdog. You're the Rudy of
yeah,
this show.
I'm totally the cook, totally incapable of playing first team football, but if everybody wants to give up their spot for me, I'll play.
Yeah, I'll lay down my jersey on our coach's desk and say I want him to start for me. And Mark, not to be rude, how are you doing, man?
Very good, very good. Thank you very much. Had a couple of days away with the family. So, very good. Very good. Thank you.
Good, good. All right. Well, usually we'd start off talking about something like price changes, but pretty much none of the ones that have happened over the international break have really been of any meaningful note. But there have been some significant injuries. So, Rob, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what's been going injury-wise with Premier League players over the international break?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's significant, but there's a lot of niggling injuries. You know, they come up because international play, people are playing, and a lot of these players have, you know, fantasy value that everyone is pretty much rostering. Some people roster or could affect your transfers to date. You know, the big news is that, you know, I think the big one, you know, he said he's fine now because after a press conference, he said he's fine. But anytime Sergio Aguero, an injury comes up in the same sentence, you know, fantasy owners and fantasy FPL players kind of, you know, take a step back and try to
figure out what
they're
going to.
Yeah, well, they cry first, and then we're like, then they try to like blame somebody, and then they try to figure out what they're going to do in a panic situation. But it seems like he's okay. He's not. He's probably going to play this weekend. I don't foresee him being out unless something happens between now and the game. Time when he kicks off. A couple other guys got hurt. They're not as significant as you know the Aguero. Basically, he's the keystone of the whole fantasy Premier League universe. But Darren Fletcher had a little injury. Lucas Perez is coming back from injury, so I'm going to touch on a guy who's coming back too. Gini Wijnaldum pulled up a little lame in his game, so he's questionable for Liverpool. We have a Liverpool guy on our show right now, so maybe he can add some sway into the whole conversation about a Liverpool midfielder. Tom Heaton in goal, you know, pulled up lame. You know, he's pretty significantly owned as a cheap second or sometimes as a punt goalie in this format. So he's someone to keep an eye on fitness-wise. Bakary Sagna for Man City came up with an injury as well. It doesn't look like he's going to play. They're probably going to turn it to another 30-year-old Pablo Zabaleta on the outside to cover until he gets back. A couple of niggling injuries. Joe Allen pulled up for Wales. He's questionable for the weekend. And it's a shame because he's starting to play well in Stoke, and he could probably do something significantly on the cheap there.
Yeah, he probably would have been one of the starts this weekend. He had been fit.
Yeah, and I like Stoke's upcoming fixtures. They have a nice run of games that, you know, you could probably get some sneaky value. I mean, it's tough to actually bank your fantasy budget on a Stoke player. because it's a tough pill to swallow. But you know, if anybody's looking for a cheap fifth midfielder, Joe Allen was playing in pretty good form. And then the last one I have written down is Ryan Bertrand for Southampton, only because Southampton's been playing very well lately. They have three consecutive cleans, and he's someone that you could probably have looked at this week, but I don't think he's going to play this week. So it could be a shop at Matt Target weekend.
Matt Target. I like it. Also, we used to talk about if people wanted to go to Targetto or Target, depending on what part of town we had to go to. Do they have Targets in England, Mark? It's just like a...
No, I'm trying to think of the equivalent. No, Target. No Target.
Ah. Target. Strictly Targettos in England.
Yeah. Definitely Targetto.
Fair enough. So yeah, just keep an eye on those injuries. Another thing, just because, you know, I probably just went a solid 5 minutes without mentioning Tottenham. Not a big fan of the fact that Walker and Rose both are playing on Tuesday and are expected to play again on Saturday, because when that happens with Champions League matches, we tend to like to rotate them. So just kind of keep an eye on that. Although Ben Davis is also playing for Wales, so we'll see what direction that goes. So also do keep in mind who's playing late Tuesday. Lamella, not an automatic sit as he was last international break, because last time he played on the Wednesday and then we had a Saturday match. So just kind of keep an eye on that as well. But I do actually want to take a break to ask Mark about some of the Liverpool situations. You already mentioned Gini Wijnaldum, likely to be hurt for a little bit. Wondering who may fill that role. And also, Daniel Sturridge starts tonight for England. No goals as of yet. It's actually just wrapping up as we're recording. But we've talked about on the EPL show about how Firmino playing up top offers a completely different look for Liverpool, and maybe that's the way you'll roll going forward. So what are your thoughts on Sturridge and then the injury to Wijnaldum at the moment?
I think there's two key factors here. One, obviously, the Gini Wijnaldum injury, but Lallana as well. He got injured in the last game against Swansea, and he is a doubt for Monday night. So that there's two things that could happen. Say that both Wijnaldum and Lallana don't make it. You would anticipate that Emre Can comes back into the team, whether he comes in to replace Wijnaldum or whether Henderson moves from his number six to the sort of number eight position that Wijnaldum's been playing, and Can sits in is that defensive midfield role. If Lallana doesn't make it, you can see Coutinho moving a little bit further back. He played pretty much central midfield against Hull. It was tactical more than anything else. But I think the way that Klopp has liked to play it so far is that you've got the defensive midfielder, whether it being Henderson or Can, and then you've got the two guys just in front of him in sort of like a 1-2 pivot. The guy on the left-hand side, Wijnaldum, is like a big guy. A big guy, gets box-to-box, up and down, can win his headers, win his battles. And the guy next to him, where it's Lallana, or Coutinho, as it was against Hull, is a more skillful player, a player that can play on the turn, a guy that you can give the ball to him in any sort of situation. Doesn't matter if he's got one or two players on him, and he'll come out with the ball, and then he'll link the midfielder to the attack. And I think he likes to... We've got the players in the squad now. We've got one or two people, at least two people deep, that can fill that role. So say that Lallana and Wijnaldum don't make it, it'll be, in my opinion, Can, Henderson, Coutinho in that centre midfield. And then that leaves a space up top where Sturridge does get his game, because Firmino will go to that left forward role, which he has played a few times this season, and he's linked up really well with Sturridge and Mane. And this has been in a cup, but it has been quite effective. When do the African teams play? Does anybody know? Like Mane, and I think he's playing.
I think they should be
this week.
I think they should be done. Yeah, I'll look it up while you continue.
Because he's the one, the only player that we have in our squad that isn't sort of replaceable at the moment is Mane. We haven't got another explosive right-sided winger. Of somebody of his pace that can come in and replace it. He's a really important player. Obviously, I think the South American teams, they play, is it early tomorrow morning?
For you guys, it's tonight here, US time.
Yeah. So that means they won't technically, well, as it is recorded now, they could obviously get a knock and an injury. That would be really affect our Monday night sort of selection if those boys get a knock. But I think that the way it's looking at the moment, the back sort of five picks itself, it's what it has been for the last few weeks. And then You're looking at Jean coming in to replace Wijnaldum, depends on how long he's out for. And if Lallana doesn't make it, then Coutinho comes into that centre midfield spot. If Lallana can make it, then it would be Sturridge that misses out. I think Firmino is his number one forward at the moment, and you know he's doing so well. I mean, you can't really blame him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how he's looking at the moment.
No African matches are Liverpool left.
They're done.
Yeah.
I mean, we are going to miss him so much in January when it's the African Nations, unless in the January transfer window he goes out and he signs somebody. There's that Dortmund young winger that he's been after, Pulisic, the young guy. Who's not signed on a contract. And I think that's who they wanted. They went for him quite late in the summer window, but that got rejected, and he hasn't yet signed a contract. But since the start of the season, I think he's played their last three or four games on the bounce, and he's done really well. So that could change. But yeah, I think I think that'll be the one signing that they do make in January, would be that sort of player to sort of like come in for the squad for Mane, because he's probably our most important player at the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then one last Liverpool question. Do you think Henderson is ownable or not?
From a fantasy point of view, no. I mean, if Wijnaldum, say, is out for the next 4 to 6 weeks with his hamstring, you could see a case where Henderson becomes that box-to-box midfielder again instead of being the more defensive player, because Shan comes in as the defensive midfielder. So I think the question is, sitting on the fence, maybe, because it just depends on how long Wijnaldum's out for. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. That's excellent commentary on Liverpool. We have a lot of Liverpool supporters that listen to this podcast, so they'll be anxiously waiting to hear the groundbreaking news that you're giving them, or that they already know, and they're already like, duh, I already know this.
Yeah.
But I'd like to go shift more into a fantasy-based question. Since you're having a little success this year, you know, you've peaked at the top 500, or right around 500 this year. Going into this week, and say you had your transfers or the transfers that you're allotted, what guys are you keying on this week that are not as owned as everyone else would think they would be or should be, that you would probably maybe be able to squeeze into your roster?
My sort of dark horse, and I know he's gone off the boil the last few weeks, but Cazorla at Arsenal. I just like him. I just think he's their captain, so he's guaranteed to play. He's set pieces, and he's normally their penalty taker until Sanchez stupidly pulled the ball off him in the game past. But he's a guy who's picked me up a lot of points, and over the seasons, if you just look at like the top point scorers in midfield, he's always in and around there. He's the guy playing Swansea at home. I think that's going to be a high-scoring game. I can't see. Was it Bob Bradley? Is that what he's called? Bob Bradley?
Yeah, Bob Bradley.
I can't see him. I can't see him lasting the season at Swansea. Never mind, like having like that new manager, you know, sort of like blip that they do. I think Arsenal are going to steamroll him, and he's out of all the Arsenal team. I mean, I've obviously got Sanchez because everyone's got Sanchez, but he's a sort of one, and closely followed by Troy Deeney.
Mm-hmm.
I picked him up after the Manchester United game, and I've just seen the fixtures coming up, and I think that he's a really nice alternative third forward, and he's come straight into my team.
Yeah, I agree on Deeney, and I think the one key fact for him is that he's sitting on 99 career goals for Watford currently.
Yeah.
So he's got some motivation there to get to that 100 plateau. And I love the Cazorla call, because I peep him every podcast we do, no matter what format, whether it be, you know, Playtaga or DFS or actually the official game. I just love what he does in bunches for Arsenal. I think that he brings things to them that the Sanchezes don't. But he doesn't do it at the Sanchez quite price or the level that he could. He comes at a discount at 7.6, whereas, you know, Sanchez is over 10. So, I mean, I agree with you there that he should be taking the PKs, because he's a more effective PK taker, and he does get involved in a lot of set pieces. So that's an excellent call by you, Mark. I like both.
Top five in corner kicks as well.
Mm-hmm. I think this season, there's so many penalties being awarded. Obviously, they're trying to get strict on a lot of the defensive sort of things that they would get away with in the past. And I think if you can get hold of three or four penalty takers in your team, whether that be, you know, a Cavola or a Deeney, just try and, or Lukaku, you try and, I think you can get as many as you possibly can, which in a crazy way does throw James Milner's name into the hat. Liverpool are getting a lot of penalties at the moment. He's guaranteed left-back starter. I know it's, if he was a defender in the game, you'd be 100% on him, but because he's that midfielder, it sort of takes away another option. But he is free kicks, he's corner kicks, he is penalty kicks, so, and he does, and he's playing so well in off the left. That ball where he's a right-sided left-back, he can open his body and he's got the whole of the pitch to aim for, and there's always at least one of the Liverpool forwards, they all rotate and they're making that run in. So he's a very good sort of cheap well.
Yeah, Mark, I agree completely. You know, there's other guys that are, you know, like Payet from the penalty kickers is a guy to look at as well. His price is not conducive for everybody, you know, if you have a lot of more expensive midfielders. But another guy who's a fan favorite of this podcast, who gets no love and has a great run of upcoming fixtures that is involved a ton of PKs and, you know, set pieces, you know, Robert Snodgrass, he's the perfect guy to do that. He basically is involved in every set piece that Hull takes up. And if anybody's looking at Hull's upcoming fixtures, they look pretty good basically till December.
Yeah, actually, Liverpool also, I just wanted to point a quick couple stats out before we get into start sit. Liverpool, after this week, face three top 10 defenses in 2016. So they're very interesting to get going forward. If you find a Liverpool midfielder you like, because Mark will know, I'm sure, everybody has their own. But whichever Liverpool guy you like most, get him in, because they have a very nice run till the end of this season. Although, I was like, how is this run so easy? And then I started looking at 2017, and I think it's somewhere around March, and you have like six awful matches out of eight. Get rid of them then, but for now...
Well, the start was on paper, the start of the season was ridiculous. And then, you know, it's going to start getting technically easier. We've got Crystal Palace away coming up, and you just know that Benteke is going to be all over that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah,
he's probably salivating for that just to rub it in their face a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's Halloween weekend as well, so it's just got the narrative written all over it.
Yeah, and then one last stat for you guys. Well, you know what? We'll turn it into a question. There are currently three teams that are top five in attack, defense, and goal difference. Can you guess who they are?
Everton, no. Swansea, and Hull.
Okay, Mark, would you like to actually try?
Well, Man City, Tottenham.
Yeah.
Liverpool? Let's throw Liverpool in.
You watch your defense, right? It's Arsenal. Tottenham, Man City, and Arsenal.
Arsenal.
Yeah. And then
can I have three more guesses? I want three more guesses. No. Burnley, Stoke, Sunderland.
It feels like you're going the other way. Because
I think I misunderstood the question.
There are two teams.
I think I've got Newcastle, QPR.
And Nottingham Norwich. Forest.
Yep.
And Wigan.
And Wimbledon. And then and there are two teams.
Scunthorpe.
There are two teams that are bottom five in every category, and they play this weekend, and it's Stoke versus Sunderland. So be sure to do the opposite of tune in for that one.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And from that weird caveat, we're going to lead into start versus sit. Rob and I will go back and forth. Mark, feel free to jump in where you will. I'll start with my starts, appropriately enough. Diego Costa is the obvious one at 10.1, leads the league in goals, leads forwards in points. Although I'm not sure that I would sign him long term. If you already have him, obviously you're starting him. I'm not sure now's the time to buy in, though. He does have some tough matchups coming up. Three top 10 defenses in his next five matches. The little more low key one, but not crazy low key. He's been a fixture in fantasy for nigh a decade at this point. But Jermaine Defoe, he's on four goals. Is already a great budget option. Stoke have tightened up a bit, but are still 19th in defense. I think we celebrated on our last show about Stoke being not last. Do they get an award for that? They're not worst anymore. But that does lead me into midfield, where Andros Townsend, priced at 6.3, is facing the new worst defense in the league, which is, of course, West Ham. Townsend leads the league in successful crosses, but only has one assist. That's probably going to neutralize it and balance out sometime soon. Benteke started to really pick up form. I got to imagine that a lot more of those are going to start going in than not. Also, Heung-Min Son is not prone to the insane price rise that he will in daily. I think he's already in the 7,000s this week after being much lower the past few weeks. And if you're in draft, he's probably already been picked up. But check, just in case he hasn't been. Mm-hmm. Also, one other little piece of Toga update. Some people asked why we don't really talk about the Toga format as much on this show. You know, we let John Wallen do that when he's on here, when he's over on other shows as well. But look and see if Sofiane Boufal is still available in your league, because he should be coming back soon, and he's a fantastic player. At least he was in France, and he'll probably be a starting player for Southampton, who, another weird aside, are just as good defensively as they were last year. Even though Coleman's gone and made Everton much better, second best in the league at the moment, the talent is also there at Southampton. And anybody that watched either of the Netherlands matches will know from this international break. Like, I just get a very strong, like, holy crap, he's good feeling whenever I watch Van Dijk. Which, as football fans will know, it's hard for a center back to be that clearly good, because you tend to not focus on them when they're doing their job correctly. You hear their name when they mess up. But Van Dijk is just at a whole nother level. So I think he'll really be able to help out that Southampton defense, although it's pretty iffy for fantasy right now. As you mentioned, Bertrand already injured. Cedric might be injured as well. I don't know if you want to believe in Target as much as you were saying, maybe to go towards just long-term, because he's going to lose the job as soon as Bertrand's fit again. But anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. I just like Southampton's defense.
Plus, as well, after this week,
yeah, he's definitely a one-week guy.
Chelsea, Liverpool in the next cup, like next.
Oh, yeah, so for fantasy,
yeah. So they've got a
maybe not so much. Right, but they are good, I guess is my point, and so avoid them. Yeah. Like, not if you have good players, but if you have matchups against Southampton, I'd probably try to avoid it. For defenses this week, things don't get too bad for Southampton yet. Fortunately, but as you say, things get a lot rougher. But this week they're against Burnley, who are 19th in attack. Arsenal and Tottenham, the only other really clear defensive matchups. Leicester, not as good as people think they are. They're outside the top 10 in attack, which I'm not sure many people know. But Chelsea love conceding the odd goal, as I'm sure Rob will tell you. Rob, who you got?
I'll start opposite of what you just did. I love the Southampton reference. They've come on a 3 straight clean sheets. Virgil van Dijk looked like a completely different player recently playing for the Netherlands. I like the way he controls the midfield. He's only owned in 8.4% of leagues, which is pretty good. And he's the cheapest he's ever been in the Premier League as of right now. He's 5.4, which is cheaper than he started at for the year. Through the midfield, I'm just getting the feeling that, you know, with all these Man City injuries, you know, and Raheem Sterling being a little iffy for this weekend, I know he's got a little niggling injury going on. I feel like this is a David Silva week. I have no reason why to back it up. I'm just having an inkling that this is going to be a David Silva week. I know his price isn't awesome. It's 8.7. But guess what, Kevin? When's the last time David Silva was that cheap? 8.7.
Oh, he might have gotten there last year, after everyone dropped him. But yeah, considering his talent, that's so low. And especially without De Bruyne, he's obviously the main creator. Although I really would have felt a lot better if he had gotten an assist either the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. If he's been on the tally sheet, he'd look more appealing for this matchup. But to answer your question, he hasn't been that cheap in 2010, 2011.
Oh, really?
This is the cheapest David Silva's
ever
been.
Wait, was that when he first came into the league?
If the season ended right now, this is when because there's I don't have the reference material to look up when he is up and down throughout the year. But if that's what year he ended the season's cheapest. So, but if the season ended right now, he'd be the cheapest it was since 2010, 2011.
Wow. And if you're gonna gamble on a player, gamble on one that's insanely technically good, which Silva obviously
and gamble on a guy who has the tools around him and the tools of himself to make him a fantasy asset. So David Silva this week in a phenomenal matchup. Look at it. Go for it. On forwards, I always tend to go with opposite what you do. You go for the big name owned guys, and I go for the lesser owned guys. I'm going to go with Cristiano Stuani this week. 5.2% owned, and the bargain price of 5.1. If you're trying to squeeze as many big name players into your roster, like the Agüeros and the Ibrahimovic's and the Payets and the Firminos and the Alexis Sanchez's through the middle, you need a third forward that you're probably not going to play every week. And Stuani at 5.1 just looks like that guy. He's coming off two full 90s. He's showing better talent than Negredo, who's not really doing anything besides being really, really hyped up in the preseason and being a former Man City player. That's about the only thing that I can say for Negredo. So for Stuani at 5.1 seems like a bargain for me. And he kind of has a one-off, one-on schedule for the next couple weeks where, you know, you could play him here depending on who your fifth midfielder would be and swap, you know, your team so you can, do matchups. I'll jump right on to my sits for this week. I'm going to go with the other Belgian forward who hasn't done nothing and is a real hatred of this show, Romelu Lukaku this week. If you have Benteke in one hand and then Lukaku in the other, chop off the other hand and just go with the Benteke hand because Lukaku is not the guy you want this week. Just look at the matchup. I don't think he touches the score sheet this week, and I think this is his precipitous fall to three or four games where he does nothing.
He loves to do.
Oh, absolutely. He just he's like a grazing cow. You know, every once in a while he'll just run around and then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I'm just going to stop right here because this grass tastes good and it's the grass that doesn't score goals or get involved in games or does nothing.
I think he gets actual joy out of ruining people's fantasy.
I bet you he has like 10 different emails and has 10 different teams and messes around with himself. He puts them, just to mess around. I think he does that on purpose. I think he just does it so one does better than the other, so he does it statistically, so he falls in different ranges.
Now,
it's probably a Belgian thing. I don't know.
What a weird accusation.
Yeah, I don't know. all right. Well, here, I'll stick with Belgians in the midfield. How's this? Eden Hazard, 9.9, 19.6% owned. He's got 8 points in his last four games. For anything that's investing your basically 10% of your accumulated fantasy value in someone that's given you 8 points in the last four games, you need to look somewhere else. Anybody who's listening to this that's in that 19.6% ownage range, do me a favor. Stop on my Twitter, leave me your password and your sign-in information, and I'll go and I'll make the transfer for you. on defense, anybody on the Everton defense, you can pick Seamus Coleman, who's playing well, who scored a goal for Ireland his first. Or you can go with Ashley Williams, who's owned in double percent of the leagues that Seamus Coleman is, because it's a weird, strange world that people love Ashley Williams 9.3% to Seamus Coleman's 4.8%. This is a big numbers game, and I know Mark's new to the podcast or this format of podcast. Mark, do you pay attention to percentages of ownership and things like that when it's determining your transfers and such?
I think at this stage of the season, not so much, but then get past Christmas and you're always looking for that differential just to sort of help you get up the ranking. Yeah, absolutely. Right now, it's all about the, I think, the form. You're really looking for the form players right about now, the people that come back from the summer break like hot and do well. But yeah, as far as ownership rates, I look so it more after Christmas.
Cool.
All right, Mark, we kind of touched on strategy there a little bit. We mentioned at the top of the show that you were way up there and then a Aguero snafu. Well, we can let you talk about it. But what is your main strategy at this point in the season?
Yeah, so a couple of weeks back, I was sitting at 4.92 in the overall rankings, which was unreal. I've had a really good start, and that's mostly thanks to a Tottenham defence and Antonio. And just bringing players in at the right time. the way that I sort of look at fantasy football and week by week is that I normally always go for a 3-4-3 formation. And basically, I break it down to defense, midfield, and attack. And out of all the positions that I look at, out the three forwards, you got to have at least two of your guys up top, either score and ideally get an assist as well. And then you've got your four midfielders. You're looking at them to ideally two out of that four always get a goal, an assist. In defense, you're looking for a clean sheet or an assist, and your goalkeeper to get at least 3 points. So, you know, it's just clean sheets this season are very rare. You know, unless you're banking on, you know, Southampton have done well, Spurs have done really well, but every other team, it's really hard for teams to pick up. So I think I've sort of adjusted my goals. As long as my goalkeeper, and I've got the guy from Hull, I've got the guy from Sunderland, I've gone really cheap on it, but the guy from Hull, whose name I won't even try to pronounce, he's when I've had him in, that's the guy. He's safe penalties. He's got at least, you know, you look at the guys that defenses are just leaking shots and they're picking up the bonus saves or the bonus points. Mm-hmm. The guy from Sunderland, Pickford, I think he's called, he got me some good points last week just for the amount of saves that he made. Not for the clean sheet, but for just the amount of saves. So, yeah, so say like your guys up front, I've had Aguero before he elbowed that West Ham defender and got that couple of game bam. That sort of messed it up a little bit because you're trying to figure away. I played the early wild card as well after the first. For every other season, I've kept hold of that wild card for as long as possible. This season, I wanted to flip it and play the wild card early doors, and it works, like say, really well, just sort of keep me up in the rankings. But then obviously Aguero got that red card, and I had to take my first -4 of the season just to shuffle things around, especially with the De Bruyne injury as well. But that's how I've been playing it. I brought in Antonio at the right time. I'm now looking at a team that's got Pickford in goal. I've gone strong in defence, so I've had Klein, Valencia and Walker. I've gone for defenders that will have a very good chance of picking up an assist. And at the start of the season, like Klein and Valencia were getting assists, and Walker's just a strong guy to have in. I am going to slightly change it. I'm going to lose one of those three. I'm not sure which one out of Klein or Valencia to change for the Watford left back. Is it Hollabas? The one who's on all set pieces for those guys. Yeah. And he's a really good assistant, especially with their fixtures. In midfield, Sanchez. I think everyone's pretty much got Sanchez. But then Sterling and Antonio and Cazorla. I am trying to get Coutinho in, but not just yet. I'm a little bit wary of these South American players, especially the Brazil guy coming back a little bit later than everybody else. Liverpool have got a Monday night game, which gives them a couple of days break, but Coutinho, last time he came back from a Brazil international ground, he didn't even make the next game because he came back and he picked up a bug on the flight, so he was just unwell for like that game week. So I'm going to bring him back, but not for this one. It's going to be for the game after when we play West Brom. And then Aguero, Deeney and Lukaku. I've had Lukaku for a while. He's a crazy player to have in your team. This week, maybe not so much. My bench is Kapui, and then I've just got two of the Matt Taggarts of the Swansea defence in Kingsley and Amat. Really, really cheap options on there, but but yeah, that's basically the way I've been playing it, and it's working well. I've got my free transfer, so I'm probably going to make the Klein or Valencia switch for the Watford defender this week and then sort of go from there.
Yeah, one last strategic question I have for you. Do you prefer to put all of your value into your starters, or do you prefer to have a more balanced squad with a stronger bench?
Right now, post-Christmas, all the value is in that starting 11. I think you could pretty much, if you see my bench, it's Kapuri, what is 4.6 or whatever. Kingsley's like 4 million. Amat's 4 million. And then the whole goalkeeper's 4 million. So there's a lot of emphasis is on that starting 11. As soon as it gets into January and we get that next wild card, the wild card that I play will be a lot more balanced because the big name players, the big teams will start resting people with Champions League fixtures, injuries pick up, and you know, teams start to rotate a little bit more. You can pretty much guarantee the starting 11s of majority of the teams for the first round of 20 fixtures. And then after that, it really does vary. So, so yeah, a long way of answering a question is a lot of emphasis on that starting 11.
Fair enough. All right. Well, he basically just went through his team, Rob. Why don't you talk us through yours?
Well, why don't you go back? Why don't you do your sits, and then we'll go through our teams. You can jump back.
What is that? Like 2 out of 3 weeks, I've just been like, forget about sits. for me, Vardy is the one that I'm definitely saying no to. Not only do I not like where their matchups are over the next few weeks, but he's the second best striker at that club behind Slimani, and he's the most expensive. So that's not really a recipe for success. I think Chelsea will concede once. I don't think it's going to be Vardy that scores it. And the way they play is so beneficial towards players good with their head, and that's what Slimani is infinitesimally better at. So I'd go that route if I was going to go Leicester forward, but I probably wouldn't even do that right now. In midfield, it's a guy that we upped the week before he blew up, which was great timing on our part, but Nasser Chadli at 6.4. I do love him a whole lot. He's about to hit a scary run. It is always possible that he like tears up Tottenham at the weekend for no reason other than just revenge, but he got what he wanted. He went to West Brom because he wasn't getting any minutes with the Belgian national team. He left. He scored a few goals. He's already back in the team. I think he's proved himself that way. So I don't see this being the revenge game that everybody else does. But it is possible he scores against us. But then Tottenham, Liverpool, City, Leicester are his next four. And defenses that I don't like this week. West Brom, Manchester United, Swansea, and Leicester. The reason I don't like Manchester United isn't that they're not particularly good, although they've been worse since Smalling came in, which I think caught some people by surprise. It's that, and Mark, you might have to cover your ears because I don't like upping Liverpool fans too much, but I think they have the second best attack in the league. And literally, they have the second best attack in the league. But
wait, it's totally not because Jurgen Klopp is getting all the calls? Oh, I'm sorry.
What? No?
If they play Daily Blind at left back, I would just be so happy because...
Oh, against Mane.
Mane against Daily Blind, who cannot turn, who cannot run, would just be frightening. I mean, if they play the team that they've put out the last 2 weeks with Popka and Herrera in centre midfield, I just don't... I mean, I can't see how he doesn't pay Fellaini, just because I know what Mourinho's like and he's just going to go for the set pieces advantage. You know, we can't head a ball from a corner, so... But if he goes and plays that team against our quick attack... I'll be very excited for Monday night, but it'll be intriguing to see what Jose does because it's pretty much nailed on what Jurgen Klopp does.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rob, now that I've gotten through those, who do you have in your team, man? That's what everybody wants to know. They've been calling us, emailing us, sending my drones team, after us.
Yeah, that's it. They're sending drones. That's pretty creepy.
Some of them work for the government.
Yeah, my team is a work in progress because I have two free transfers at my luxury this week. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. In goal, I have Foster and Pickford. I'm going to play Pickford this week because of the matchup. On defense is where I need to do some changes. It's basically crap. I have too much investment in West Brom players right now. I have a cheap option from a Swansea team, and I have Ashley Williams on my team, which is not a good thing this week. Through the midfield, I have Sterling, Cathorla, Snodgrass, Payet, and Kapu. Probably not going to touch that this week because I want to change up top because I want to be a little different. I have Ibrahimovic, Aguero, and Christian Benteke as my forwards. I'm probably going to switch from Ibrahimovic to Deeney, because I do have a love for Deeney this week. I think he finds the back of the net. And then I'm probably going to bring in an Arsenal defender for the next three fixtures, probably most likely Koscielny, only because he's got more points than everybody else and he's cheaper than Bellerin and less owned than Bellerin. So that'll probably be my investment into an Arsenal defense, which looks like it's starting to come on as a knocked-on group of, you know, basically we know who's going to play every game and we can expect consistency from them.
Yeah. For me, I was super tired of Foster's nonsense, so I switched him out with Hugo Lloris, who is back in fit and is obviously a tremendous goalkeeper, and I was missing out on all of those Tottenham clean sheets that were benefiting Mark so, and I was a little bit iffy on Rose and Walker starting both today, Tuesdays we're recording, and at the weekend, they may well. I just really don't like that we rotate them. Although there has been less rotation in the Champions League than there was during the Europa League last season, then I still had Masuaku, who was not only crap, but also injured. Switched him out for Adam Smith, even though I really wanted to go Simon Francis. Rob will know I was very high on him coming into the season. Hasn't really done much and would have been the contrarian play, but kind of as Mark was mentioning at this point in the season, it's for some people, it's more important to just start getting points on the board, and that's kind of where I am after a bit of a rough start. So my back line, so those are my two changes, Lloris and Smith in for Foster and Masuaku. My back line as it stands, obviously still changes need to be made, but, you know, baby steps. My back line is Seamus Coleman, Adam Smith, Johnny Evans, Kone, and Kingsley. what were we calling him? Steven, don't call me Ben Kingsley. I think it was the nickname we gave him. But anyway, obviously, Evans has a rough set of matches coming up for West Brom. Coleman, I'm okay with long-term, but not a great matchup this week against City. And then Kone and Kingsley both would be nice to move on, although Kingsley is a priced up and isn't bad. As the midfield goes, Ötzel, Payet, I like, but Ötzel kind of not doing the business. I already mentioned the Liverpool stat. They have an amazing run after this, so probably going to downgrade from him to someone, or upgrade from Snodgrass, who, while I do like, just basically hasn't done anything since I brought him into my team. I have Roberto Pereira, who was my counterplay to Capu, who is a phenomenal player, was great at Juventus, except for when he was injured. Hard to be great on the pitch when you're injured, but when you watch him, he's just so clearly a class above, but sometimes he's just not as involved as I'd like, but I'm not really ready to give up on him yet, and at 6.0, I think he's a very good value, even though some people may not. Mason is my price dump there at 4.9. Probably need to drop him down to a true price dump. Then at forward, I am somehow still stuck with Ibrahimovic at 11.5. I've just had bigger issues elsewhere, and I'm sure Mark will be aware, Liverpool's defense, not exactly the most threatening, although they have looked better since they brought in Lloris Karius, because he does that thing where he doesn't let every shot on target go in the net, which is better than
what Alan Simon Mignolet.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if Zlatan scores on Monday night.
Neither would I. He's a big game player as well.
I think the stage is set. And
Monday night, all alone. Yeah, lights on him.
Yeah. Sky cameras. He loves it. It's all about Zlatan. And then he's got, and then he's got Chelsea, which is obviously Jose. So Burnley at home. Yeah, I mean, he's a good player to have around, but it's a tricky one because it takes your budget away from the rest of your team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just hurt my midfield. Clearly, that's the issue. Yeah, because instead of having three really good midfielders, I can only afford two because of the Aguerovic combo. I do still have Aguero. And my biggest concern is not that he said he was injured. My biggest concern is that he said he's hopefully fit enough to play tonight against El Tuesday. So by the time you hear this, we'll know if he played or not. But the fact that he knows he's like dealing with a niggle and is still trying to get out there for Argentina instead of shutting it down and coming back, that's my concern, is that he's clearly never known what was best with his body, which is a tremendous issue. So anyway, one of Ibrahimovic and Aguero will not be in my team probably next week. Time will tell. I'm assuming I'd hold on to Aguero just because he's at the point where he's like an anti-differential, where if you don't own him, you're going to get punished. And then I have Benteke as my third. Jumped in on the week he started scoring, so was very pleased with that indeed. All right, guys, before we get to Captain of the Week, I think it's Rob's time for any nonsense questions that we need to ask our guests, as we typically do when we have someone on.
Yeah. So I was trying to think long and hard, and I was trying not to, you know, insult anybody here. And since we used baked goods previously and ice cream previously, when you're looking for a woman, what color hair do you prefer? Brown, blonde, or brunette?
Seeing that my wife is
blonde. Red, sorry. Red, blonde, or brunette, sorry.
Seeing that my wife is blonde, I gotta go blonde. I've always had a thing for blondes.
Mm. Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah, I tried to go in spurts in my life. Like, I'll just have like a string of one, then a string of another. I don't really know what that's all about.
Does anybody care for my opinion?
Yeah, you're
wait. Yeah. Here's my opinion. Women have hair?
Oh, there you go. not incorrect, it turns out. Okay. I'll follow that up. We always got to get some culinary thing in there. So, Mark, what is your cereal of choice?
Ooh.
Easy. Mm. Hands down, easy. I've always got a box of Cheerios
there
in
you
the
go.
Kitchen.
Just plain
Cheerios?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, no, just no messing. Don't go crazy. Just stick to what they're good at. Just get those multigrain oats inside of me.
Mm. Yeah.
Nice.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Rob?
But it's coming up to porridge season, right?
Oh, here, just because it's getting a little colder and
Yeah, you cannot beat a bit of porridge with some honey.
Saps the moisture right out of the air and everything. Yeah, mine is mine is Cap'n Crunch. I've been a Cap'n Crunch.
Regular, the berry version, the peanut butter.
No, just regular old Cap'n Crunch
in the red box.
Yep,
get out of here.
But I love cereal, so it's hard to narrow down because I'm one of those guys. If I walk through the cereal aisle at the supermarket and I'm like, ooh, it's on sale. Ooh, it's on sale. I'll end up like with 15 in my cart, and then like I'll get yelled at and told to put them all back.
Yeah. Well, I was, as listeners of this show will know, I was an opera major in college, and so I tried to avoid dairy basically as much as I could, much to my bones' detriment, just because, it, you know, sometimes it makes you a little phlegmy. So I avoided cereal for a large portion of my life, and then I was introduced to almond milk, and the unsweetened kind. The sweetened kind is just like the worst white chocolate you could ever imagine. But the unsweetened kind is actually pretty close to real life. I forget what kind I have in the fridge right now, but it's pretty solid to get the consistency right without all the gunk that you get all up in your stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've been an old soul for a long time. I love me some Basic Four in the morning. You get those cranberries, you get those little white clusters that I don't even know what they are, but they're pretty tasty. Although I will say over the years, I've noticed a significant increase in the amount of bran. And a significant reduction in all of the inside bits that are good, except for raisins. It's now basically Raisin Bran, just with a couple almonds and some of those little white clusters and some cranberries in there. But I've always liked that. And then as for a dessert, this is going to sound crazy, but it's a dessert cereal, if that makes any sense. I'm also not the biggest ice cream guy. I don't like that cold all up in my mouth. Everybody's going to hate me by the end of the show. I like Reese's Puffs. I can just eat it out of the box.
There you go.
Like it's like a dry snack. But, you know, sometimes a little milk's nice. But anyway, that's my weird cereal lineage. Oh, Rob, I guess you guys don't have Thanksgiving, huh?
Me?
Or no, not you at all. I meant to say more.
I told it. What do you mean? What do you mean there's no Thanksgiving this year?
Yeah, no, we ran out.
Well, has Donald Trump called it off?
Jeez. Oh.
Oh. But actually, maybe.
Oh. It may be the truth.
Yeah. But yeah, when if you don't have Thanksgiving, Mark, when's the big turkey day? Do you have a day on which turkey is greatly consumed? What out of 365 and a quarter days, how many days would you say you consume turkey?
Just the one, just Christmas Day, right?
Oh, you do turkey on... Oh, see, we do ham on Christmas because we do all the turkey on Thanksgiving.
Well, I do steak on Christmas too, so...
Interesting. For a while, we had a family tradition of getting Chinese because it's like the one thing that's open on Christmas Day. But then we stopped. That's it. There's no background info.
Wait, you stopped having a family or you stopped having...
Both. I stopped having
when
a
When I met you
family.
In that bar in New York, Kev, was it after Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was just after. Yeah.
It was after. Yeah, it was just before Christmas. Just after
yeah, I yes, probably still I had my bad. Stuffing pot belly. Yeah. Something's the
no, best. It was. I just had Thanksgiving in Arkansas. We went to sort of visit some friends. It was good. You know, we watched a parade. First ever Thanksgiving in the States.
Mm.
Watched a parade on the TV. Watched some football, some American football afterwards. It was a good thing. I was glad to experience it. But yeah, we do nothing here. When is Thanksgiving? Is it 19th or something like that? 20th.
It's the third Thursday.
Thursday.
Oh, is it? Oh, right, so it changes every year. Yeah, so it was good. You know, we don't do anything here. I was just saying today, basically after Halloween in the UK, that is when Christmas starts. I liked it but then a lot of people are unsure when you can start like putting Christmas stuff out in the shops. But like in America, it's like Thanksgiving, boom, Christmas. You know, so there's a set sort of date in the States when you know that it's all right to get the Christmas stuff out in the shops.
Yeah, well, the best thing about the Thanksgiving break is a lot of times, like, people with kids especially, like, they're home from school and stuff, so then the day after Thanksgiving, you start setting up your Christmas stuff as a family, and then you get to leave and get some solace and solitude, and then you come back for Christmas and everything's already done. So, yeah, we have a really nicely demarcated point there. So you're just saying, like, November 1st is the beginning of Christmas season?
Well... No, the beginning, as in it's acceptable to start putting your stuff out, Christmas lights out and stuff, is probably the first, you know, you use the first advent calendar. But I mean, this is when you start to see it in the shops, as in your big brand shops. That is when you start to see it all start to go up. But it's all crazy. No one really knows when or how or what. But with you guys, as soon as you see that Macy parade on the TV, then you're good to go.
Mm, fair enough. All right. Well, one last thing to get everybody in trouble. What was your favorite Christmas gift you've ever gotten?
Nintendo Game Boy, hands down.
When you were a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When I was like, what, 10, 11? So this is like before the internet. Before the internet.
Wait, there was a time before the internet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Al Gore didn't always invent it. Yeah.
Before social media, before the internet, there was this thing called a Game Boy, and it was unreal. And Super Mario, yeah, insane.
Nice, yeah. Rob.
I agree. Nintendo was the best Christmas gift.
Ever. That's not a bad shout. I was people may be unsurprised to hear, clinically ADHD from like 7 years old, and so everybody always said it was a better idea to not give me something like a video game where my mind could just give like rapid bursts of attention and stuff. And so anyway, my parents were always like, no, you can never have one. And then my grandparents sneak mailed one to me. When I was a kid. It was the yellow Game Boy Advance with the nice Pikachu Pokemon yellow all up in there. And that was phenomenal. And then didn't get the next one. And then they were like, there's like 700 Pokemon now. I was like, oh, what? Wow. I just got weird whiplash from that and never... did again, but yeah, that's a good one. I'm glad that we all stuck with that. Maybe maybe Game Boy can have an FPL app for the next generation. All right, well, that should do. Oh nope, I lied. Because now to wrap up, we have our captain's pick of the week. That was my attempt at doing a radio board. That was awful. Okay, Mark, if you had to captain one player, who would you go with this week?
I'm glad I'm going first because I think we might be all saying the same guy, but I'm going Sanchez.
The Game Boy Advance.
Swansea, yeah. No, Sanchez at home against Swansea. Nice 3 o'clock Saturday kickoff. It's like I say, I think Swansea are going to be a very poor for a lot of weeks to come. So get on Sanchez while you can.
Yeah, that's a good call. I don't own Sanchez, so I can't. Ross, I can't say him because that would make me jealous and be like, oh, I want Sanchez and I can't have him. But I'll go obtuse. I'll say Christian Benteke this week against West Ham, who is the worst defense in the league.
Mm. And yeah, that's a nice 5:30 kickoff as well on Saturday night. That is the TV cameras there, Benteke. Yeah, I mean, that's a good show.
Yeah, for me, first of all, it was a Game Boy Color. I'm just now thinking. Cool. I think the Advance was the sideways one. And that the Game Boy Color was the last vertical one. But I'm sure people will tweet us and tell me that my childhood memories are wrong. As for captain options, we already talked about him. It's the last chance saloon for Ibrahimovic on my team. And I think he definitely does score against Liverpool. Yeah.
Captain. Wow. Big.
Yeah, man. Big. Go big or go home. That's what I sometimes say when it benefits me. So on that crazy selection on my part... that will do it for us today. So if you guys would like to tell the folks where to find you, now be a good time.
So Twitter, you can find me, it's at Mr. Mark Simpson, M-R-M-A-R-K Simpson, S-I-M-P-S-O-N, on the Twitter. And I have recently published a blog on Anfield Index. If you Google Anfield Index, 10 out of 15 points. I finally got around to writing it. I believe 10 out of 15 points consistently throughout the season will get you Champions League football. So it's not just for Liverpool fans. Chelsea, Tottenham, United, anybody can go have a read of it. It's why I believe that consistently getting 10 out of 15 points get you Champions League at the end of the year.
Nice. That's an interesting read. I can remember to look that up, even though I don't read too often. You can find me on Twitter at Smokey_Loogie. You can find my writings on Razzball.com. You can find me for some DFS and on our Pot Me and Kevin's podcast on VIPBet.com. That's VIP-bet or .bet. No, VIP-bet. I'm over dotting is what's going on. So it's VIP-bet, and don't spell out the hyphen. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. You can find me on this podcast or coming soon to a tree outside Mark's house.
That would be, it's a lot of money on a plane ticket to just lurk.
Hey, stalking is fun until you get caught.
If you stalk at my house, though, I live on a farm, and there's a lot of Highland cows with lots of very sharp.
You got guard sheep?
Wouldn't recommend it.
You got guard sheep going around?
These Yorkshire sheep, man.
The attack sheep.
They never know they're good. All they know is they're bad.
Oh boo. I am at Kemproff on Twitter. We will actually, on the EPL Roundtable page, we'll be sure to retweet Mark's article for anybody that heard that and was like, that sounds interesting. So we'll be sure to do that. Of course.
All as the two people that read it.
As Rob mentioned, you can find us over at vip-bet.com. Don't spell the hyphen, because who does that? Don't be that guy. But anyway, I write weekly for TheEaglesBeak.com. Have a weekly fantasy article over there. The format's changed a little bit lately, but all the content's still there. Still be sure to check out all the Playtaga stuff. If you have any questions about those, you can just tweet us. I think they have a forum over there or some such. I don't know how often that's used, but you can always ask us, as that's why I'm a expert, quote-unquote, in the field, is my success in draft. Which, by the way, Rob, you poked some fun at me to start the season. I'm quickly climbing up those standings. I think 3 straight wins. That'll do the trick.
Are you ahead of me? You're not ahead of me yet, are you? Oh, you're good.
I actually think I am.
No, you're not.
I'm not
in second place. Nope.
Well, I'm not in first, so yeah, I guess you are still ahead of me. But that was by an inspired Leroy Fair pick. It was my last pick of the draft. So that has gone well, clearly. the clicking you're hearing is me and Rob both looking up everything. I'm one win behind you. I'm 24 points off you. So yes. not too bad. But yeah, on a pretty good run on my own here. But anyway, so yeah, check us out at all that stuff. It's at Mr. Mark Simpson, at Smokey_Loogie. I'm at Kevroff. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us, and we hope all of you listen next week.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.